Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clearing the Crease podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for downloading the latest edition of Clearing the Crease. Sorry for the long layoff amongst podcasts, but it's so happy to be back with each and every one of you here on the airways. Thank you again for downloading Clearing the Crease. Got a lot of things to talk about today in terms of college athletics. We got things to discuss in terms of what can you do and can you not do in terms of disciplining your players as a coach nowadays. What's acceptable, what's not. Have parents gone too far into protecting their kids? I got a few opinions in that regard. Also, we're going to talk about hazing in college athletics. When do coaches need to step in? What is acceptable? We're going to get into terms of what should be considered hazing, what's not, and also what players have a right to do in terms of stopping hazing. We're going to discuss that today. But before we get started today, I got to tell you about ReflexLacrosse.com. Summertime is here. The college lacrosse season is over. Did anyone watch Denver win a national championship? I know I certainly did. It's great to see the title go out west. But the summertime is here. You got all the club tournaments. You got all the tournaments going on, whether it's Lake Placid, Ocean City, even some of the big tournaments on the girls' side. You're playing at Capital Cup. Maybe you're heading all the way out to the Midwestern Cup or Western Cup. But I got to tell you about ReflexLacrosse.com. Check out some new swag. Got some original products out there. Check out ReflexLacrosse.com. Got to be looking good for the summer. If you want to have some great lacrosse experience, got to have the swag. Check out ReflexLacrosse.com. Now, first thing I want to talk about is a lot has been made nationally about the arrest of Sean Combs, also known as P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, however you want to refer to him or remember him as, that's fine. But he was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon. Now, his son is a football player at UCLA. He's a defensive back, if I remember correctly. Now, he was arrested because the strength and conditioning coach kicked him out of practice. And now, not all the details have come out about this, so I'm just going to be speaking in terms of parents stepping in for their kids in terms of coaching. When should parents step in? Now, Diddy's son was kicked out of practice by the strength and conditioning coach for the exact reasons. I'm not entirely sure, but as a result, allegedly, Sean Combs went after the strength and the conditioning coach with a kettlebell. Now, for those who don't know what a kettlebell is, it's a solid piece of iron that has a triangle shape on one end, so you can hold it. It's basically a dumbbell that has a handle shaped in basically a triangle. But it's a solid piece of iron. It's used for strength and conditioning, and it's a great tool for exactly that. And these are made of solid cast iron. Was he justified in stepping in? Now, again, all the details haven't come out, so I'm just going to give my opinion, being a former coach. Granted, I'm not a parent, but being a former coach and a former college athlete, when do I think parents should step in? Now, when I was coaching, I always told my players, if your parent is concerned about your health, your well-being, you know, outside of the team, you know, something that doesn't involve playing time or a kid gets kicked out of practice because, you know, they're being late or lazy, whatever it may be, or being a bad teammate, then that's something that stays within the team. I don't need a parent contacting me about that. But in this case, if the player gets kicked out of practice because he's being lazy or he's just not following instructions or something that's built up over time where he just hasn't cooperated with the coaching staff or teammates, and it's affecting the team, and if he gets kicked out of practice and maybe gets yelled at by the coach, then I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Because guess what? I got yelled at by coaches plenty of times. And my dad or my mom would ask me if they were watching practice in high school, would say, hey, why'd the coach yell at you? And I'd just tell them what happened. And they go, well, don't do that again so you don't get yelled at if that's what you want to have happen. So my parents were always looking for ways for me to improve as a person, to get better. Now, in some situations, it's okay for a parent to step in. Now, if the coach was telling the player that they're, you know, not worth the ground that they're standing on, or, you know, they're not worth dirt, you know, obviously not going to use some strong language that could be used, but if it's in ways of degrading or demeaning the player emotionally, then the parent has a right to step in to intervene, maybe not attack them with a kettlebell, but in that situation, I'm okay with the parent stepping in and saying, hey, look, you shouldn't talk to my son or daughter in that manner. I get that. Or if the coach physically put their hands on the player, then you know what? Granted, I'm not a parent, but if I had a kid and if my coach assaulted my child, you darn right I'm going to stand up for my kid. That's a different situation. But I'm talking in terms of a coach disciplining a player for not doing what they've been told to do. Now, again, there's different circumstances, you know, whatever it may be. But just in terms of that general ideal of the player's not performing because of laziness, tardiness, whatever it may be, then you know what? That player gets kicked out of practice. Then if I'm the parent, parents should be saying, well, if you don't want to get kicked out of practice, do what your coaches are telling you to do or asking you to do. Because guess what? You signed up for a full scholarship to play football at UCLA. This is what you signed up for. You know, even if you don't have a full scholarship, it's what you signed up for. It's his choice to be there. No one's forcing him to be there. He can sit there and go, coach, I quit, if he doesn't want anything to do with it. And that's his choice. He has the ability to make that choice, and he made the decision to go play for that team. And guess what? If you don't do what they're asking you to do, don't be shocked if you get kicked out of practice. My point is that we become very overprotective, in my opinion, of kids. And too much in society, we are very quick to blame others for why we fail or for why someone that we love fails. It's always someone else's fault. We don't ever look and take responsibility for what we do. I work a job doing sales now, and some of the new people that I work with always wonder why they're not making more sales or getting more pitches out. And I tell them, I said, well, you're working the bare minimum. Don't expect to get much out. They said, come in 10 minutes early. Stay 10, 15 minutes late. You'll get more sale calls out. That's what you're going to do. It just happens. And sometimes I've been in there early. I've made a sale, and the kids are just rolling in right at 8 o'clock. And they say, oh, you guys are just getting here. And he's like, well, yeah, how was your day? He's like, well, I've already got a sale so far. It's that kind of thing. They have to take responsibility for what you are doing and your actions and not being so quick to blame others for things that go wrong for you. Now, there's certain situations where things are out of our control, but I'm talking in terms of work ethic and discipline. You have to have that self-discipline. You have to have the work ethic. And you can't blame others for you not working hard. It's as simple as that. You can't blame others for you not working hard. And I think we are too quick to protect kids these days, especially when this kid's an adult and made a decision to play for this team. You have to be able to trust what the coaches are doing. Otherwise, you shouldn't send your kid to that school. That's just my opinion. Now, before I get into our topic about hazing, I got to talk a little bit about this. My out of bounds topic for this week is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Virgil Runnels is his real name. Passing away recently. He's a former professional wrestler who wrestled for Jim Crockett Promotions, the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA, as well as for now WWE, but then WWF. Also wrestled in WCW. Just an all-around entertainer. And, you know, I heard a couple people say that, oh, he's just a wrestler, it's fake. I said, well, you know what? He's an entertainer. Yes, wrestling is scripted, but he was an entertainer. And he really caught the attention of the common man. That was his whole thing. He's just a common man. He was the son of a plumber, and that's who he appealed to. And the whole thing with professional wrestling and characters are is that they portray a character which people can connect to. And that's the same with any show, any cable TV show you watch. It could be Seinfeld, Friends. I mean, name your TV show. You find a character that you can connect with and identify with. And he was that person that was just the common man who was average looking but had charisma for days, and he was such a great entertainer and just so much fun to watch. And it really is sad to see someone of any legendary status pass away, but he was one who had an entire impact, or had an impact on the entire industry of professional wrestling in some sort of way. You sit there and you watch a pro wrestler give a promo or speak about Dusty Rhodes, and they will sit there and say how much of an impact that he had. And those are rare finds, where someone has an impact on an entire industry and everyone within it. Even if it was just momentary contact with him, it's those people are very few and far between, those who impact an entire industry. And it's very sad to see Dusty Rhodes pass away. Me being only, well, now 29 years old, didn't really get to see him wrestle a whole lot, especially in his prime, which was mostly during the 70s and 80s. But to see the impact that he's had, to learn the history of wrestling and just being entertained by it, it truly is sad. But I really hope you guys get a chance. If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube, just look up Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo, and you can really see how he connected with the common people, because that's exactly who he was. And that's the whole point of professional wrestling, is to connect with fans. And that's the whole point of entertainment, is connecting with fans. And he did that, and he was able to do that. He wasn't a great in-ring performer, but he was able to connect with the fans, and that's what makes a true entertainer. All right, back to college sports. Now, a lot has changed over the years in terms of hazing in sports. Generally, I used to see something along the lines of, on the guy side, guys doing mohawks or have to sing in the middle of the cafeteria, have to sing a song in front of the student body, kind of thing. It's, kind of like something that's embarrassing, a little bit along those lines. But things have changed a lot in terms of hazing, about what's acceptable and what shouldn't be. Now, I live in the state of North Carolina, which has some of the most, actually probably has the most strict laws in terms of hazing. But also what defines hazing nowadays. Now, in North Carolina, let's say the upperclassmen want to give the freshmen mohawks. Like, hey guys, we want to do mohawks as freshmen. If you guys don't want to do it, that's fine. Okay. And a kid says, I don't want to do a mohawk, then that's fine. Like, okay, you don't have to do it. But nowadays is that the kid who says, yeah, I want to do a mohawk, that sounds awesome, that is considered hazing. And even the kid who accepted the quote unquote hazing can now also be prosecuted as well. It's very weird. But nevertheless, because they say along the lines of he could have been pressured into saying yes, even though he may have not have wanted to do it. Now, when I was a freshman in college, when I played lacrosse, that's exactly what the freshmen we decided to do. We actually said, hey, we want to do mohawks. It'd be kind of fun for us to do, team bonding thing. Some of the freshmen decided not to do it, which we were all cool with, but most of us, we did mohawks, we had it for a week, and then we just shaved the rest of our heads off, which was fine. We were all perfectly okay with that, but nowadays, that's now borderline now. But there are situations where things just get taken way too far. A case, for example, at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, which is a Division I school, a former softball player at St. Joseph has sued the school in federal court, alleging that she was forced to drink alcohol at excessive amounts, was forced to simulate sexual and mock sexual acts, or imitate sexual acts, was mocked for her sexual orientation as part of the team's hazing. Now, the former player has, back in last month, has filed a lawsuit against the school under the name of Jane Doe to protect her identity. And in the complaint, she says, quote, was often reduced to tears and began having suicidal thoughts. And even the head coach, Terry Adams, knew about the hazing but did nothing to stop it. Now, the team late in May suspended its season because of this allegation, because of this event, and also by an investigation done by the school. So the team canceled its season late, you know, before conference tournament. We have a chance of playing in the College Softball World Series, possibly, because of this incident, or these, you know, alleged incidents that took place over a period of time. Now, the lawsuit claims various violations, including Title IX, negligence, intentional infliction of emotional distress, even breach of contract, because the player was on a full scholarship at St. Joseph's University and was supposed to have the benefits of the mental health, academic support, as well as just the opportunity to have a prosperous and meaningful athletic and academic career, which is something that she denied, or was denied, allegedly by these actions. Again, I say allegedly because, again, nothing has been proven yet. So the plaintiff, again, quote, in the complaint, I'm reading straight from the complaint here that was filed. I was able to obtain a copy of it. It says, quote, suffered harm, including but not limited to mental and emotional harm, including suicidal thoughts, fear for her safety, suffering the dehumanizing effects of this type of hazing and bullying, including feeling of worthlessness and loss of positive college experience, harm to her past academic performance and future academic capacity, feeling that she must leave St. Joseph's University for her physical and mental well-being, despite being on full scholarship, having to quit the softball team, an impaired softball career, having to leave St. Joseph's University, and now having to pursue her academic options elsewhere, denial of equal educational opportunities, and denial of access to the full benefit and opportunity of her education at SJU. Again, that's reading straight from the complaint itself. Now, forcing people to consume large amounts of alcohol, which apparently during this time she was on medication. You know, obviously medication, alcohol doesn't work well, but forcing people who are underage to drink alcohol is certainly unacceptable. Being forced to perform or mimic sexual acts is completely unacceptable. Being mocked for sexual orientation is also completely unacceptable. It's very harsh. And some of these things that are written in the complaint, I like to keep this show family friendly, you know, PG, maybe PG-13. And some of the stuff that's written in the complaint that allegedly happened from the upperclassmen to these freshmen, especially to this player who filed this suit, is quite disturbing. Some things that I just won't read on the air, because it is quite horrible. It's quite graphic. Some of the things that were included, I will read from the complaint, were including being forced to drink alcohol, including Jello shots, again, despite being on the fact of medication, and after informing the upperclassmen that she did not want to drink alcohol while on medication because it was unsafe. The plaintiff recalls being asked about her sexual orientation, what sexual position she likes, what sexual acts she had performed, to identify persons with whom she's been sexually intimate, and being asked questions about pornography. That's about the extent of how far I will say, but some of the stuff that was said, even more, and the complaint is much worse than that. Also, in the case of the head coach, Terry Adams, knowing the plaintiff said in her lawsuit, quote, for instance, during the plaintiff's freshman year and thereafter, Coach Adams started calling plaintiff Sippy and or Sippy expletive in pants, explaining that plaintiff was worthless and was no better than the, quote, crap in her pants. Crap wasn't the word used. Again, the complaint continues to say, Coach Adams called plaintiff these demeaning and derogatory names in front of other team members of the softball team, thereby humiliating, harassing, and bullying the plaintiff. So apparently the coach, Terry Adams, knew about this hazing that was going on and was basically doing the same thing to the player. So this player had nowhere to turn. She had nowhere to go. She had teammates, at least upperclassmen-wise, who were obviously saying these derogatory things about her during her freshman year, which then actually allegedly carried into her sophomore year. So it's not just a one-time thing. It was something that was carried over a period of time. The head coach was allegedly saying negative things, which, if I'm the case, if I choose to go to a school, the coach is part of the reason why I go there. Because, like, okay, I'm going to trust this coach to give me the best teaching, the best training possible, and to be there for me in times of need. That's what a coach is supposed to be there for. But apparently this was something that that she was denied. In the complaint, it continues to say, quote, in addition, plaintiff is and was constantly berated about her sexual orientation by other teammates who told her that she was gay and she should come out of the closet and other language to that effect. Moreover, other teammates who befriended plaintiff were called lesbians for associating with the plaintiff, unquote. So this is clearly something that can cause a large rift amongst the team and is something that is it's quite graphic. Again, this is one situation, but this happens, sadly, more than we think. Even earlier this year, back in April, Western Kentucky University suspended its swimming and diving program for 5 years. Again, suspended it for 5 years after conducting a Title IX investigation into hazing allegations. A criminal complaint filed by former swimmer Colin Craig was made public, and during a 10-page complaint to the Bowling Green Police back in January, detailed a slew of hazing allegations against his now former team. There are allegations of racist comments towards some of his friends. There's also allegations of sexual harassment towards a female recruit as well during a party off campus. And was also physically attacked by one of his teammates as well. Was apparently choked, basically put in a chokehold, like an MMA chokehold, you know, on the ground, leg triangle chokehold around the, you know, from the guys from behind. Was forced to quote unquote tap out, but he was forced to wrestle his teammate. He tried to like push him away. Sexual orientation, never a good thing, but hazing should not be. It's something that just has to stop. There has to be better ways to build bonds amongst teammates, trust amongst teammates, and you have to do it in a very positive way. For example, I had a friend who played lacrosse at Penn State, and he said something that they did was they did a campus run, but they did a scavenger hunt together. To some people, they may not realize it, but you have to learn and educate yourself on what's acceptable and what's not. And will harm themselves, and not a very good thing that's going to happen as a result. Thanks again for downloading the latest edition of the Clear in the Crease podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/clearinthecrease. Follow us on Twitter @CTCpodcast. Make sure to check out our website, www.clearinthecrease.com. You can find this podcast on iTunes for free, as well as through Podomatic. You can check out the Podomatic app, as well as clearingthecrease.podomatic.com. Thanks again for downloading the latest edition of Clearing the Crease, and I'll catch you guys next time.